Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the light.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler. Tonight's show is a special edition with my co-host Robert Lee Johnson from the state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you are tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask you to take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we are on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts, you can send your emails to srbutler1009@yahoo.com, or just give me a call at the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show.
We will spread the everlasting light with the wind.
With the wind.
Good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we're prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we praise you will be my co-host on the show this evening, Robert Lee Johnson, as he break unto us the bread of life. Pray that you will bless him and his family that supports his efforts to continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners this evening. We pray that they may listen well and that their hearts may be pricked as they consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. And it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to die such a cruel death on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you will forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know that as long as we're in the flesh, we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives, and that we have been faithful unto death. Father, we pray that you will save us. For it's in Christ Jesus' blessed name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast. Our speaker for this evening will be my co-host Robert Lee Johnson. Will be making his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the broadcast this evening. So open your Bibles now and open your minds. After the break, the next voice you hear be that of my co-host Robert Lee Johnson, that powerhouse of a gospel preacher out of the state of Georgia. Enjoy the show.
Oh, I
Light Radio Show Special Edition. Now my co-host Robert Lee Johnson and his subject, Jonah Running from God.
Thank you, Brother Stevie. I'm so happy to be here and to be a part of this wonderful radio show. I'm thankful for the opportunity to present the Word of God as I understand it, and as I strive to be a book preacher. I think that's one of our problems today. We've gotten away from the book. We want to be like everybody else, and we've forgotten really how to stay with the book. And so my intent is to stay with the book of God. And to stay in the book, and I'm pleased to have this opportunity to speak with you. If you are listening by way of radio, we invite you into the heart of this program. We trust and pray that something will be said that will be beneficial to all of the people of God. Now, I want to go to the reading of the Word of God so that we can get into the lesson. I want to start in the book of Jonah in the third chapter of the book of Jonah as we read the Bible. You know, we have time to do everything but spend some time with God in the Word of God. Isn't that something? And we have our interests. We're more interested in everything else, it seems today, but the Word of God. And so we just want to dive deep into His Word and try to understand what God is saying to us. Let's talk a little bit about Jonah to set the stage. I want to read from the third chapter of the book of Jonah. Now, I don't know if you have heard it, but one of our great men of God, Dr. Jack Evans, lost his wife, I'm told yesterday, Sister Patricia Evans. And there are many people around this country and outside of this country that have great and tremendous love for both of those people. I was fortunate enough when I preached in Columbus, Mississippi, to have Brother Evans come and spread the gospel table for us twice. And he did a beautiful job every time he entered the pulpit. And I certainly share let me just say it this way. I express my condolences to him and to his family. A great man of God, a preacher of the book. And I just trust that his family will be able to find faith and hope in God Almighty and continue in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many who speak very highly of Sister Patricia. And she was always by his side. And they were stalwarts at that great school, Southwestern Christian College. And God bless them and bless their family and may good things happen in their lives. Now, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." The scripture says, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him. The Bible says, covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, let neither herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will repent, or if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And then the Bible says in verse 10, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And so we, in a remarkable way, we see that the people, these are not the children of God. These are people of a foreign nation. And the Bible says, let me read 8 through 10 again. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. It's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing that God would do this for these people. And the Bible says they repented at the preaching of Jonah. You know, we have all kinds of stuff in the church today. We got everything in the church but the word of God. But what did these people need? God sent his prophet to preach the word. We got people now who want everything to be sugar-coated, want every sermon to be watered down, every Bible class to be about the people and not about God nor his word. Now, I just don't think that's right. God told Jonah to go and preach, and Jonah, the first time, Jonah didn't do it. And then God allowed him to have an experience with the whale. And the whale swallowed Jonah. And while he was dying there in the stomach of the whale, he started begging God for mercy. And the Bible says the fish vomited up Jonah on dry land. God is always willing to give another chance. God never sends judgment before warning. And furthermore, the Bible teaches us, good people, that God expects us to heed his word, to heed the warnings that he sends to us. So Jonah went on over there and preached. Nineveh was not easy to get along with. They were wicked people. The Bible says they were wicked. They would do some bad things to you. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Yes, they would. And so Jonah had to deal with that attitude. 30% of an average person's anxiety is focused on things about the past that can't be changed. If we today were honest with ourselves, we would all say that there is something in our past that we regret doing and wish we could say, Lord, give me another chance. I need a do-over. I need to find a second chance. And so not many second chances exist in the world today. I read about a little girl that was bullied in school. She went home and committed suicide. I remember a guy one time who did not make a basketball team. And as the team got ready to drive away, he said to those who were prepared to ride, he said, I don't wish anything bad to happen to you. He said, but I sure hope you don't win. Isn't that something to say to people who are preparing to go and play a game of basketball. But he was upset because he didn't make the team. And therefore, he wasn't ready to pass his blessings on to the team. And so we have to recognize that God is not like that. You know, we've often heard people say, I give you three strikes and no more than that. Three strikes and you're out. When it comes to dealing with me, three strikes and you're out. You see. But wouldn't it be great if people had a second chance? I remember a friend of mine got stopped for speeding by a policeman. And if she had the power, she would have said, tear up the ticket and tell the officer, thank you. But right here, I'm going to take a do-over. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had do-overs like that? Something happened at the bank. Your check bounced. We all know about them bounce checks. And wouldn't it be great if you could just walk in the bank and say, you know, I'm not paying a bank fee today. I want a do-over. I want a second chance. And so the teller looks at you and say, well, no problem. No problem. You don't have to pay for that bounce check. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? What if you get in an argument with your best friend, and before you know it, something mean and cruel comes out of your mouth? And you look in the eyes of that friend and you see the tears welling up in his or her eyes. And then you could say to that friend, today I'll take a do-over. If do-overs were possible, you would say that to your friend, today I'll take a do-over because I do not want to have that on my record. There are people who invested in companies during the time that America went through a tough time. And people lost a lot of money. Wouldn't it have been great if they could have said, I'm doing a do-over on my choices. I'm not willing to lose my investments, the money that I have. Sometimes we play with the government and we forget to send our taxes in. Wouldn't it be great when they send you that letter and they talk real ugly to you, and then you tell them, that's fine, but today I'll be taking a do-over. I'm going to do this thing over the right way. And therefore, you can't charge me any interest on the money that I owe the government. And so that would be great. But listen, the most important thing there is, and for men to be concerned about, is their relationship with God. A do-over today is not a dream, it is a reality. And I don't care what you have done in your life, and I don't care what you have done with your life. I'm here to tell you today that God affords you the opportunity to do a do-over in your life. And so you need to look to him because he is able to extend a second chance. Because he is the second chance God. Jonah found out that God was able to extend to him an opportunity to make things right. Jonah was called to his task not once, but twice. And when God called him the second time, God gave him the very same. Commandment that he gave him before. That is, he needed to go to Nineveh and preach the word of God as God had commanded him to do. God did not change his word to Jonah. And the first time, Jonah ran away. Talk to me, Brother Johnson. The second time, Jonah obeyed and went. Because Jonah had been taught that it's better to obey God and do as God commands rather than to strike out on your own and do something that is not pleasing or acceptable in the sight of God. I hear many people say, but Brother Johnson, opportunity only knocks once. Only knocks once in life. But I just want to tell you, God will give you chance after chance for you to get it right. God is the second chance God. I look in the life of the Apostle Peter. Look with me now. Peter denied Jesus three times. In Luke 22, verses 54 through 62, the Bible says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were all set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. She's talking about Peter had an association with the Lord. She said to Peter, you were with him. And Peter denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Strike one. The Bible says, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Strike two. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, said of a truth, this fellow also was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And the Bible says, immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Didn't take Peter long to get on the wrong side of Jesus. It didn't take Peter long to walk contrary to the law of God. This is an apostle. And Peter had boasted that he would never do anything against Jesus. And in verse 61, the Bible says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That was not a short look. Jesus turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, the Bible says, and wept bitterly. Peter lived 3 days in terrible guilt. He must have felt a little like Jonah in the belly of the fish. But I want you to know, because one is isolated from God, does not mean that one has to stay that way. Jesus forgave Peter and reinstated him. The Bible says in John 21, 15 through 22. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lamb. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Jesus said unto Peter the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? The Bible says Peter was grieved because Jesus said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto Peter, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this spake Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's what we need to be doing today. We may have scuffles in our lives. Talk to me now. We may have disappointments in our lives. We may be picked up and we'll fall down. We'll fall down right away. We must continue to follow the Lord. And when I read this example, these scriptures about Peter, you see, the time had not come for the restoration of Peter, and the proving by Jesus was designed to impress this wavering disciple with the need for more caution and less boasting of his strength in the hour of trial. See, stop talking about what you can do. Stop talking about how you can meet every temptation, because you can't, not by yourself. It's a good thing to respond quickly and to show that you're for the Lord. But understand that does not mean that you are infallible. The apostles were not infallible. The word that they spoke was infallible, for they were guided by the Holy Spirit. John, the 16th chapter. Galatians chapter 1, 11 and 12. They were guided by the Spirit in what they taught. But they were men of clay, and they often fail, like the rest of us. And so when Jesus was talking to Peter, the question brought clearly before Peter his weakness, his fall, and his present condition. He now knew not to dispute the Lord's words. So he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. It will be observed that he omits reference to the Lord's words more than these. Peter was no longer disposed. He was in painful recollection of his recent fall. So he no longer was boasting that he was more devoted than the other apostles. There is also another significant matter involved in Peter's reply. When Jesus said, lovest thou me, he used for love. He used the Greek word agape, a term indicating strong devotion, of a high order. But when Peter replied with the words, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," the disciple used the verb phileo, a word denoting the humbler, the warmer emotion growing out of kinship or close association. The former word clearly suggests a high order, agape, a reverence and respect. It can be exercised by the will of another. It is subject to command, and a choice may be made whether it will be indulged in or not. It is this type of love we are commanded to exercise for our enemies. The second word, however, results from a relationship that promotes warmth of affection and is not subject to command. Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." That means recognize your obligation as a teacher and a shepherd to care for my own. You see, we have to love people. We can't just preach to people and holler at people and yell at people all the time. The people that we're preaching to, they must feel and know that they are loved. But I found also that God was not finished with John. Sometimes we give up on people, but God never gives up. As long as there's breath, God is calling us to come. You remember the hymn regarding the prodigal. God is calling the prodigal. And the song says, "Come without delay." And some of us, we get angry if someone won't come to church with us. Like you came every time you were invited. When you was out there in the world, you did not. Well, I've invited him to come to church, he won't come. Well, you got to keep on inviting that person. God never gives up, and God did not give up on John. God today, tonight, will give any of his children a second chance. I don't care how long they've been out there in the world. I don't care what they've done, how they have sinned. If they ran men, if they're running after women, if they're drinking alcohol, if they're taking drugs, if they're gambling, if they're not acting like a man in the home, or men in the home. If the woman is refusing her responsibility in the house as a mother. But what God, I believe, is looking at, he wants you to come back home. God is calling the prodigal, come without delay. And I just want to say today that we can return to him and be as useful and happy as at the first embrace of the Savior. He just asked of us to come in sincerity and come and once again accept the simplicity of the gospel. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says we need to acknowledge our sin. We need to repent. And then God will forgive us. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God would do for you. You have to come back to him. You have to admit you have walked contrary to his law. You have to admit that you no longer want to follow the pathway of sin. If we keep on confessing our sins, this is indicative of a continuous process. There are two definite and specific types of confession required of the erring in the New Testament. Confession before the Father, number one, and acknowledgement of sins before others. James chapter 5 and verse number 16. If we keep on confessing our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And the Bible says, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithfulness and righteousness are attributes of the great Jehovah. And when we confess our sins before him, we enter into and partake of the blessings which result from coming to God. God has promised to forgive us on condition that we will confess our sins, and says God is faithful. Listen to me in our church. Says God is faithful. He will not fail in the performance of his promises. You just come back to him and let God take care of the situation. Thank God for the words. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God gave him a second chance. Preach, Brother Johnson, preach. God will always warn us before he judge us. He warns us. And so I'm saying tonight that it's a beautiful thing to know God, to know the power of the resurrection of the Son of God, to know that our sins can be forgiven. Jonah ran. You can run all you want to run, but listen, you got to turn around and face God. God warns us before he judges us. In Luke 22:31-34, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And then Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Satan is lurking today. Satan wants to tempt Peter with the sin of disastrous consequences. Satan had He knew the power of Jesus. Peter had the power of Jesus' prayer on his side. That's powerful. Peter could have needed the warning, but he didn't. Too bad. This has always been God's way. God sends a warning. In Genesis chapter 3:1-5, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Listen at that lying rascal. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That lying rascal. That's what he says to us. Go ahead and drink that wine. It's not going to hurt you. You're only drinking one cup. You're only drinking one glass. One glass of wine is not going to hurt you. I see people on Facebook talking about they're going to drink a cup of wine, going to drink a glass of wine. Why would you do that? Why would you yield yourself over to Satan like that? And then people argue about, well, one cup of wine will not make me drunk. Well, how do you know that? If it takes three cups to make you drunk and you drank one cup, you're one cup drunker than you were before you started drinking. Preach, Brother Johnson. I just think we need to be a little more careful. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So because of their sin, God didn't kill them. But he drove them out of the garden because they had violated his will. Man lost his salvation that day. We lost it in Adam. But because of God's love for us, we pick up that salvation in Jesus Christ. The first Adam, sin. But the second Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, he did no sin, neither was there any guile found in his mouth. He made it possible for us to have salvation. God said Noah in Genesis, the sixth chapter, Noah warned the people of impending danger to come. And they refused to listen to Noah. That man preached 120 years, building the ark and preaching the word of God. You talk about Jonah Wall, not Jonah, but Noah. That's what Noah did. He preached and he built the ark. And eventually, in the end, he was able to save his three sons, their wives. He was saved, and his wife. All of those people died in the flood because they did not obey God. And then people say, well, do you think God will send somebody to hell and let them burn eternally? Yes, yes, I do. Yes, I believe that, because that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And that's why we're out here warning people that they need to turn to the word of God. Get off your high horse and look for the Savior. Preach, Brother Johnson. I'm preaching this gospel tonight. And God wants us to be saved. God wants us to come to know him. Come on, Stevie, help me now. Give me some time. Warnings here. I'm warning from the word. Give me some time warnings here so I know what I'm doing. And so the Bible is right. God warned Pharaoh. Exodus 5, 1 through 8. Pharaoh would not listen. God gave him a warning. Thank you, Stevie. That boy, I tell you, that's Stevie. Stevie is on it. He said, I got 10 minutes. As I tell people from time to time, you can say a lot in 10 minutes. But God warned Pharaoh. The Bible says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Listen at him. He's talking to God. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days, journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks, which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. What a man. Pharaoh, what a man, what a man. But he met God one day. God took care of him. God took his son, his firstborn, because he was so stubborn and disobedient. Let me tell you something. Your stubbornness does not hurt God. Your stubbornness will hurt you, but it will not hurt God. You need to be waking. You need to be making your way to the watery grave of baptism so you can get baptized and get rid of your sins. God warned Belshazzar. Daniel 5, 1 through 9. You know what happened there. God warns us, but we don't listen to him. Many times when we start listening, it's too late. It's too late. So I'm saying to you today, my friends, that you need to take a stand for the Lord. You need to take a stand for the Lord. People today are in all kinds of trouble. I talked to a little girl one day, and she said to me, my mother is in jail, and she seemed so sad. But I'm telling you, sometimes when nobody else can help you, God can help you. And God has his people out there who are willing to help you. God today wants his church to warn the world, because the world is in sin and unbelief. And one day, Paul stood and said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. God warned Nineveh through Jonah. God wanted to save this heathen nation. He sent Jonah to preach. And when God sent us to preach, we don't judge the situation. We go and preach the word of God. God warned those people. He told them to get right. God is warning us today. Some people will not go to the doctor because they don't even want to know what's wrong with them. But you might have a health problem. God is trying to warn you to get ready, because you're going to leave this world one day. God warns sometimes through the sudden death of a friend. You don't know where death is. God warns sometimes through a terrible problem in your life because he wants you to have a closer walk with him. God is touching your heart today through this message. And when we need, when we receive a warning from God, we need to heed it. We need to heed it. And we need to turn to God and obey him. Nineveh acted upon the belief they were getting a message from God, and Jonah was the messenger. The Bible says Nineveh repented. They manifested faith in that message. They repented. And the Bible says they turned to God. Repentance today means a new way of thinking. You need to think differently about God. You need to think differently about yourself. You need to think differently about sin. God has been warning for years and years. He continues to warn us. I trust that we will listen to God and that we'll turn from our wicked ways and that we will obey his word before it is too late. Not only does God warn the world, but God warns Christians as well. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 6, I find that Paul says, the disasters which befell the ancient Israelites, they were placed there for a purpose. In Hebrews 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says that we should not drift away from God. How many today have done just that, drifted away from God? No time for the worship service. No time for Bible class. No time to go see the sick. No time to pray. We are drifting away from God. I believe in work, but work is unacceptable in God's sight. When that's all we're doing is working, you got to spend some time with God. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You don't want to do that. You don't want to fall into the hands of the living God. And so, my friends, I want you to know that God wants you to be saved. But God can't save you unless you're willing to obey him. Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, Lord, there are none. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, keep on doing what you're doing. He said, go and sin no more. You got to stop sinning in the church and live for Almighty God. I trust that the word of God has meant something to you today. As God forgave Jonah, God will forgive us today. I ask you to seek his grace. I ask you to turn to his mercy and trust in God. Titus 1:11-12. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. He's a second chance God. He will give you another chance. You can't clean up your life, but you can bring your broken life to God. He loves you. He wants you saved.
if you're not a Christian, believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Luke 13:3. Confess Christ to be God's son. Matthew 10:32. And get baptized in water for the remission of your sin. Galatians 3:26-27. Turn to God. He'll give you a second chance. God bless you. And have a great night. Thank you, Stevie.
One more time, yes, one more time. He allowed us together. One more time, oh, one more time, yes, one more time. He allowed us together. One more time.
I wouldn't trade my place for any place in this land. All and everything I need, I've got it right here. He's beyond understanding, but sometimes I ain't strong at all. So I run to my place for refuge, where I can let my tears fall and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm gonna be alright.
Yeah.
One more time. One more time. Oh.
One more time.
He
allowed us.
Thank you, Jesus.
One more time,
I'm singing that song. I want to thank you, Jesus.
You've been listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition.
King of kings and Lord of lords, He will hear your prayer.
Thinking of you.